I'm Evan Foreman, and this is Necessary and Sufficient.
This week, Eric P. Kraft is back from Littleton, Massachusetts. So, whenever you're ready, go ahead and open the envelope.
Okay. And the winner is Blackmail and Bribe.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. I guess I'm not quite sure why I was chosen for these particular words, unless I seem to give off a much sketchier vibe than I imagine.
Sometimes I just get a feeling about a pair of words and a person. You know what I mean? Like, it's just instinct. It's just instinct. I mean, the thing is, like, these are two words that kind of have a lot to do with each other. They naturally mean very different things. But when I was a kid, when I first sort of learned about them, I feel like it was in summer camp when somebody first used the word blackmail. And I was like, what does that mean? And, like, they sort of explained it, and it sort of sounded like the same thing as bribe, and I couldn't really figure it out. I mean, do you remember when you first heard the words, or like, you know, how you learned about this?
I don't. I have a feeling blackmail I probably learned from reading like mystery stories or spy stories or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like Raymond Chandler, I would imagine. Actually, both I may have picked up from reading Raymond Chandler or Philip Marlowe stories when I was younger. But yeah, I don't have a specific memory of these. Of these two.
I mean, blackmail seems like something you'd hear in the context of, you know, like a noir thriller, but bribe seems more like something you'd hear in the context of like a political thriller.
Yeah, but I mean, it could also be when you've got a noir sort of thing, somebody may be getting blackmailed, but there's always a cop on the take somewhere that, or someone getting bribed for, you know, a snitch who's getting paid to rat people out. And you know, they do. I suppose they do go hand in hand in some ways.
So let's define our terms here. Like, how would you differentiate between the two?
Well, I mean, a bribe is, you know, you give that to somebody to work in your interest.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, blackmail, I suppose you're both. Well, bribe, you're giving the money. Blackmail, you're getting the money. I guess is the long and the short of it.
I don't think that's necessarily true. Because
no,
because a bribe, you could be giving somebody favors to get money, you know, and when you're blackmailing somebody, you might not be getting money. You might be getting some other consideration, like preferential treatment.
Yeah.
Or I think you're usually right. Like, you're usually blackmailing somebody for money. Right. But I think, I mean, I feel like you can be a little more general and say that, like, in a bribe, you're coercing somebody by providing them with a positive, and in blackmail, you're coercing somebody with the threat of a negative.
Yeah, I suppose it's better to get bribed than to get blackmailed.
Well, that was actually my next question. I think that's actually not that's kind of a thorny issue. I was actually written this down in my sort of notes for this conversation. Is, you know, would you rather? You'd rather get bribed than blackmailed?
Well, I mean, if you're getting bribed, it seems like at least you're getting something out of it, whereas if you're getting blackmailed, you're just getting put through the ringer. Even though if you're getting bribed, you're corrupt and may get caught anyway. You're not there yet, so you're still sort of doing all right for the short term.
Right. Right. So the idea when you're getting bribed, usually you're taking something in on the personal level and you're using your office to give something away. So it's like, right? Like, so like, I'm a corrupt cop, I'm getting money, which I take home, and yet I'm using the powers afforded me by my job, which don't really affect me personally. So that's the translation that's happening there. So the consideration that you're taking in, consideration being a legal term, the consideration that you're taking in is yours to keep, but the consideration that you're giving away was never really yours in the first place anyway, right?
Yeah.
But I think you could make the argument, though, that being blackmailed is better. I mean, I was actually sort of thinking about this, like, in terms of conscience, if you take a bribe, then you're kind of on the hook. You really stepped outside the box, the line, whatever, and done something not really conscionable. But I think if you're being blackmailed, people out from the outside are going to have a little more sympathy for you.
Well, I would say it depends. If you're getting blackmailed, chances are you've done something bad. So it's right. Like, I don't think anybody gets blackmailed by being innocent. And so, I mean, I suppose in some ways it might be a comeuppance to get blackmailed, but it's like, if you're getting blackmailed, your conscience isn't clear. And I mean, not that if you're getting bribed either.
But don't you think there are situations where, like, I'm, you know, like the classic thing in the movie, like I'm a little shopkeep and somebody comes in and is like, hey, it's a nice store you have here. Like, you should pay us protection because it would be a shame if something were to happen to it. Like, that's blackmail, isn't it?
I guess that's blackmail, yeah. I look at that as more of racketeering. But I suppose in a way that is blackmail. I'm thinking more of like, yeah, some sort of political thriller where some politician is cheating on his wife and they come to him with pictures of him with the mistress. And so then that's where the blackmail comes in.
But I think blackmail can be either the threat of something, of like doing something bad, or the threat of withholding something good. You know, the threat of undeserved violence. Undeserved being the Shakespearean pronunciation of undeserved.
I'm trying to think of an instance in where someone would be getting blackmailed for taking a bribe.
Yeah.
Just so we can go down some sort of wormhole.
That could happen. I mean, actually, the thing that I was thinking about just now was like, is it possible to have a situation where there's either simultaneous blackmail and bribe, or there's like, you could equivocate between the two. It's like, if I come to your store and I talk about how it's a violent neighborhood and you pay me protection every week to, you know, let's say I'm a cop. Okay, I'm a cop and you're a grocer, right? And I come to your store and I say like, oh, it's a really dangerous neighborhood you're in. It's funny that you decided to open this gourmet grocery. It's like, you know, these giant plate glass windows, it could be a real problem. And then you give me money to pay special attention, you know, to your shop. Are you bribing me or am I blackmailing you?
Yeah, that's
it's a thinker is what that is.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't really be a bribe because you're not, if you're giving a cop money to not smash your windows.
But if I'm not giving him money to not smash my windows, I'm giving him money to pay special attention. You know what I mean? To give me more than my rightful share of his effort.
Well, that's just adding value, I think, is what we would call that in a capitalist society.
Right. I mean, I think you're
that's just good business sense.
Are you intimating that an intricate system of blackmails and bribes is like really just what makes our world go?
Yeah, it's gonna be the next bubble, I think. we should get on the ground floor right now on this.
Well, I mean, I think you could make the argument that like that's a lot of, and I'd need a pencil and paper to figure this out, but like that might be a lot of what's driving political affiliation to begin with.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this. I'm sure there are bribes going. I mean, lobbying is not, you know, not bribes.
Right. Oh, right. No, that's absolutely bribes. I mean, you're right to bring that up because that's actually much, much closer to the truth than what I mean, I was actually thinking of a more like sort of de facto system of, you know, like sort of getting voter loyalty by saying like, the only way that you're going to keep your wealth is if you vote for my party or, you know what I mean? You know, like, I guess you could say that the people on the right are saying like, oh, you know, it's a nice income that you've built up there. It'd be a shame if something were to happen to it. You know, if you were to get taxed unduly.
It'd be a shame if poor people got insurance and started using the same doctor as you.
Right. And on the other side, you know, in fairness, like the social services are here just in case you might need them one day. It would be a shame if something were to happen to them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's all about like, you know, painting the bleak picture and like and forcing people to imagine themselves.
And then just imagining that every podium a politician is giving a speech at has a baseball bat underneath it.
Right, exactly.
Just in case.
Exactly.
I don't think they're going for it. Use a little more force.
I mean, it sort of reminds me of this thing. It's not exactly related, but like I heard this in high school, which is like a liberal is a conservative who's been arrested and a conservative is a liberal who's been mugged. You know, and that like once you see the shifts of power, like you change your viewpoint. I don't know if that's really related. I don't think it is.
No.
I might cut that out.
I mean, it's... I'm trying to think of a good story that contains either of them, but I don't know. I can't think of any sort of movies or anything, and I don't know anyone personally who has been blackmailed that I'm aware of.
Well, it's a shameful thing to happen. Like, people aren't going to talk about it that much. I mean, I think that's part... I think that when you talked about, you know, the pictures of the affair, like, that's the best kind of blackmail if you're a blackmailer, is that, like, you know, you threatening to break my shop windows isn't great because I can tell somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really going to blackmail somebody, the good way to do it is to do it with something that they can't talk about.
Yeah, that's why the window breaking isn't as clear-cut blackmail to me.
Right.
But I guess it still technically is. It's more, if it seems like a slightly different situation, or at least I have too pure a view of what blackmail is.
Right, you're a blackmail purist. Yeah. I mean, I do feel like if there's a threat involved, you know, if you're threatening somebody to coerce, like that, I think that's blackmail.
Oh yeah, I think the whole sort of framing it of, if you don't do X, I'm going to Y you. I guess that's the sort of general template for blackmail, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
Blackmail then becomes a huge element of parenting.
I was just thinking about
Because it's like, if you don't eat your, you know, if you don't eat your broccoli, you're not going to get to watch your video or whatever. That's a constant thing. You know, if you don't stop crying, we're going to turn the car around and go home. Or is that technically blackmail then?
I think it might be. I mean, the thing is, like, you know, if you don't eat your broccoli, you won't get to watch your video. That feels like blackmail to me. But then if you do eat your broccoli, then you will get to watch your video. That feels like a bribe.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly, we have willingly embraced bribes.
Right.
Like with the toilet training, it's like, you know, you get a sticker if you use the toilet, or, you know, if you use the toilet for 2 weeks, you fill up your chart with the stickers, then you're going to get a new toy train or something. So, yeah, bribery in parenting, I think.
Yeah.
It's a well-acknowledged thing. I think getting people to admit to blackmail might be a little harder. But I feel like we've done it, and now I feel like a terrible person.
Don't feel like a terrible. I mean, the
whole I'm gonna go turn myself in.
Well, I mean, like I said at the beginning of this conversation, like, I feel like both of these things are flavors of coercion. So, you know, that's gonna be loaded no matter what. I mean, you know, I'm not at the point where we're blackmailing or bribing or coercing or anything our little 6 month old, but it's gonna happen. And like, the one thing I've thought about is food. You know, it's like, there's a lot of, you see a lot of like people, you know, giving a cookie or a treat or whatever. You know, we were actually interviewing nannies, and one of them was talking, you know, we asked them about, how have you handled transitions like sleep training and potty training and stuff. And one of them was talking about potty training, and she was talking about the same thing you are, basically, but instead of stickers, that she would give an M&M, and she's like, it works like a charm. It always works, you know. And I'm not one of these people who's going to be puritanical about food, because I like candy, you know. But I also know that, like, as a culture and as a person, you know, like, we have problematized relationships with food, you know, like, we don't always have the best. So I don't know how I feel about this, but at the same time, it does seem like certain things hanging in the balance as motivational factors seem like they could lead to other problems, but maybe they won't. I don't know. But it's a thorny issue, I think. Stickers, I don't think you're going to have a problem with, like, you know, developing some kind of sticker fixation. That seems like, you know.
Well, when you introduce sort of food into it like that, too, it gets worryingly close to the same way you train a dog.
Right.
And then you start to be like, oh, what are we doing here?
Right, right.
But then at the same time, having had dogs and now having a child, sometimes some of the stuff you have to do isn't that far removed. And then you start to feel weird about that, too.
Are you talking about cleaning up poop?
Oh, yeah. It's all and just being able to talk about poop in polite company.
Yeah.
It's very freeing.
Yeah.
And so then this makes me think, then, is blackmail to some degree, is it not so much the means but the ends that we need to think about? Because, you know, when you're sort of doing, if you don't use the toilet, you're not going to get a sticker. But so the end result is you're doing that so they will end up developing a positive behavior that they want to be doing anyway. Whereas somebody who's saying, you know, if you don't, you know, give me $1 million, I'm going to release these pictures of you with your mistress to the media and destroy your career.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess then it's the blackmail. The intent is to do something destructive.
Right.
Whereas raising a kid, then would that make it not blackmail because your intent is something positive?
Well, you know, the sticker thing, now that I think about it, the sticker thing feels more like a bribe, because I think the thing about blackmail is that, like, you have to think about your baseline. You know, in a bribe, you're offering something that's above the baseline that they weren't going to get anyway. But in blackmail, you're threatening to either do harm or to take away something, right? So if you said, if you don't poop in the potty, I'm going to take away your bed and make you sleep on the floor, that's blackmail. You know, but offering a sticker seems more like a bribe, which seems a little bit more innocuous, you know? But the thing about the video is a good question. Like, if this whole broccoli kerfuffle didn't happen, was he going to get to watch the video in the first place? Like, does he expect the video? Is that a basic right, watching that video?
Yeah, that's a good question. It might be. I guess it depends on the circumstances surrounding. Like, are you using the video to get the broccoli eaten? Or was it after dinner, you can watch the video, but oh, now you're not eating your broccoli, so we're going to redefine the rules midstream.
Yeah, I think what you just described, former, bribe, ladder, blackmail.
But then what if you don't even have a video?
What if you don't have broccoli?
Yeah. It's all an illusion, really.
So what happens after the sticker truck gets filled up?
I think you're supposed to give more rewards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's supposed to be like the chart itself is just supposed to be sort of a visual reminder of how well you're doing. So they start to feel good about the progress they're making, and then that sort of inspires them to keep going. I think the poster itself just kind of says, hey, if you fill the chart, you've done it. But it's like 2 weeks worth of stickers on this chart. So there's like, he's not getting toilet trained in 2 weeks. So we just put as many stickers on there as we could and say, all right, well, if you use it every day this week, then, you know, on the weekend, we'll do something special, like, or we'll get you that another Thomas train. Or I think the big one was when you are using the potty all the time and you don't need to wear diapers during the day, we'll get you a lightsaber.
An actual working lightsaber.
Yeah, well, a plastic lightsaber, not an actual Jedi one.
Right. That's, you have to use the toilet for a lot longer than that.
That there'd be a lot of severed limbs and cut up furniture around here if it was a real one. That was also part of the trick, was saying that you can't be a Jedi unless you use the potty.
Wow.
And I would point out that you never saw Obi-Wan getting his diaper changed on camera.
Now they waited for cut. So, Eric, thanks so much for coming back on Necessary and Sufficient. I really appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
Hang on 1 second while I read the credits. This has been Necessary and Sufficient. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks again to Eric P. Kraft for joining me. Eric, where can people go and find out about your work?
You can go to ericpkraft.com and also ericpkraft.tumblr.com, which one covers more, or just children's book writing, and one is more sort of anything goes silliness.
Those are your twin passions, right? Children's books, yeah. And silliness.
I actually have my degree in anything goes silliness.
Really? Did you go to Hampshire or something?
Yeah.
You can subscribe to the podcast in the iTunes store or at duckandshed.net, where you'll also find the Necessary and Sufficient archives and a bunch of information, including how you can suggest a topic or a guest or send a donation. While you're there, please visit the comments section to share your thoughts on today's conversation, because I'd love to hear from you out there in the inky night. Say goodnight, Eric.
Goodnight, Eric.